While the new year holds much promise and excitement, there will also be difficult times. Today's guest helps us as writers get ready for these challenges by developing healthy writing practices. So don't go away. Your best writing life begins right now. Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring tips and strategies from writing and publishing industry experts to help you excel in your craft. I'm so glad you're listening in. During this episode, you'll learn 23 best writing practices for authors. My industry expert is Edie Melson. Edie is a woman of faith with ink-stained fingers observing life through the lens of her camera. As a popular speaker, Edie encourages and challenges audiences on the necessity of soul care and leads workshops throughout the world on staying connected to God. Her numerous books, including the award-winning Soul Care series and Unruffled, Thriving in Chaos, co-authored with Rhonda Ray, reflect her passion to help others develop the strength of their God-given gifts and apply them to their lives. Since 2017, Edie's industry blog, The Right Conversation, WRITE, has been recognized as a Writer's Digest Top 101 Sites for Writers. She's the director of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference and a board member of the Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. She and her husband, Kirk, have been married over 40 years and have raised 3 sons. They live in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains and can often be found hiking with Edie clinging to the edge of a precipice for the perfect camera angle and Kirk patiently carrying her camera bag and tripod. Please welcome Edie Melson to Your Best Writing Life. It is great to have you here, my friend.
It is so good to be here. What a wonderful way to start off the new year.
You are one of our favorite guests, and you always bring us something that's going to have us thinking about ourselves and how we need to show a little bit of affection to ourselves and to take care of ourselves. That means as writers, there are some best practices we can take advantage of and really enhance the year as it opens up to us with all the different opportunities. Edie, what is the first best writing practice that you will encourage us with?
I think that one of the first things we need to do is we need to develop the habit of, instead of putting ourselves down, we need to build ourselves up. So often we are our own worst enemy. And my kids are all grown now, but as I was raising them, one of the things that I kept hearing, all the parenting advice, was that for every negative thing that was said, depending on which expert you heard from, somewhere between 6 and 16 positive things would have to be said to rectify that damage. So think about this. If for every negative thing we say to ourselves about our writing, we have to say 10 positive things, or we're going to be injuring ourselves. That's a lot. It's easier just to start out by saying good things.
Oh, I'm in agreement with you there. I'm someone who loves to talk. Yeah, I've never been at a loss for words, folks. But trying to counter that or to think about it, oh, I just said that. Why did I? Oh, that was so dumb. Just phrases like that, Edie.
Yes.
It tells my subconscious, okay, well, you're dumb. And I'm not. God did not create me as being dumb. He has done amazing things in my life, and He uses me greatly. And I'm not being egotistical. I could go to His word and quote and quote and quote how He's designed me, how He's designed you, how He's designed our listeners, and all of them are to build them up. So that's perfect for number one. What's the second one?
Choose to be optimistic. I have a lot of trouble with being disappointed. So I developed a really bad habit. I used to always think that the worst possible thing was going to happen, so I wouldn't be disappointed. But you know, that's not the way to live. And it kind of goes hand in hand about not putting yourself down. We should look at the positive things that can come out of any situation. So I have started in the last few years choosing to be optimistic instead of pessimistic.
Oh, and that's good. And I don't believe that this is walking around with rose-colored glasses. I don't believe that's what you're saying, Edie. What I'm hearing from you is I have a choice to look at a situation and think negative or think positive. And if I think positive and optimistically, it actually draws me into that mindset. And again, I'm going to lift myself up. I'll lift others up. And I'm going to see and believe that God is in control.
And absolutely.
That's powerful for me. So that's good. Great. All right. We have to build ourselves up and not tear ourselves down. And then we have to choose to be optimistic. What is the third one?
The third one probably should have been the first one, but I left it at number three because this was when I remembered it. And I hope when you read number three, you go, oh yeah, she said do this first. And that is pray first. I have developed the habit before I even send a text message or a social media update, much less work on my latest book or devotion or blog post, I pray first before my fingers hit the keyboard, because that does something powerful in my focus. It puts me back in the focus of following God and opens me up to what He wants to say through me, instead of going with my own agenda, which will always get me in trouble.
Oh, girl, I don't need to add anything to that. Bam, spot on, drop the mic right there. That's where we went. Okay, we've got three. What's number four?
Number four is be patient. Writing is a process and it takes time. My grandmother used to tell me, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And doing something right takes time. Writing is it's a journey. It is not a destination. Because believe me, every time you reach that pinnacle, you think, yes, I have my first book published. What you see at that pinnacle of I have my book published is a whole nother mountain range. And so you're always going to be striving for the next thing. So be patient.
Oh, your visual is so good, because I'm envisioning you hanging off the precipice, trying to get that. And you and Kirk love to hike. Sam and I love to hike. We'll have to hike together at some point. We're gonna make that part of our future. And when you're looking at the mountains, when you're looking at that next ridge, or as you come up to the top and you go, yes, here I am. And oh, look at all of that. So if I am preparing myself for the long journey, for the adventure, as our wonderful friend Diane Mills always says, expect an adventure. If we prepare our writing mindset as one of an adventure, one of a journey, then you're right, Edie. I'm going to be more patient and I'm going to enjoy the process, not just wait for the hilltop moment or the mountaintop moment. Be patient, y'all. Be patient. All right, number five.
Number five is one that my husband taught me, and that is to invest in your dream financially and otherwise. He was the one who told me that going to writing conferences and buying writing books and subscribing to magazines and things were like my college education, and that's how he looked at it. So he taught me to be willing to invest in my dream. He also helped me work out ways where I could make my writing a priority and help others to see it more professionally rather than something that I just did when the mood hit me.
Oh, I like that. Consider what we are investing in as an education, as college, for those of us who did not graduate from a university or have not invested in extensive or additional educational time. This is a beautiful way. Everywhere we go, every book that we buy that is dealing with craft, or even in some cases dealing with soul care, enhances who we are as writers for the kingdom. And investing is one of the things we have to do, because a dream does not accomplish itself. It takes us walking in that journey, doing what we can do to help it come to fruition as well. So that's beautiful. Number six,
find a tribe, find your community. Even though writing, the act of putting words on a screen or on paper, is often solitary, we need other writers in our lives. We need people who understand the trials and tribulations, and also understand the joys and the triumphs. It's really hard to explain to somebody who's not a writer what a triumph it is that you just hit the end on your book.
Mm. Truth. So true. Having someone else on the journey it's powerful for me. It's a huge help for me. I'm right there with you. Number seven.
Remember why you write. And I suggest you take this one step further, that you write down when it was that you felt the call or the urge or the coalescence of this writing dream. For me, I remember the time and the place, and I have it written down. And periodically, I will look at it and remember why I write. Because I guarantee you the who, what, when, where, and how are going to change. But if you know your why, then you have an anchor that will help get you through the difficult seas of writing.
Mm. This is good. So good. Remember why you write. That does. It gets you up in the morning. It's kind of like going and playing golf and you are hitting it in the wrong direction. You're hitting it into the water. You're whiffing the ball. You're not even, and you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And then you make contact with the ball and it goes in the direction you want it to go. And it goes a good distance and you go, that's why I do what I do. And it brings you back to the golf course every single time. So remember why we write. Beautiful. Number eight.
Number eight is be courageous. Be willing to try something new. You may not actually fail at it. You might find a new talent that you didn't even know you had. And truthfully, even if you don't do something new perfectly the first time, you're going to learn a lot. So I recommend looking at things and trying new things all the time. I have to tell you, I am still trying to conquer the mountain of writing flash fiction. That is my nemesis, and I am trying to get it done. But it's something that I'm still working on. And every time I try something new, my writing and my skills get better. So be courageous. Don't be afraid to fail.
I love that. Don't be afraid to fail. I would always share with my parents Parenting Awesome Kids, and I would say, if we can fail well, we always know we can get up and get going again. So that's how we teach our children. It's okay to fail. Fail well and get up and keep going. So be courageous. Good. Number nine.
Choose joy. It seems like a Pollyanna sort of thing. But the fact is, there are always reasons to be joyful. There are. And there are always reasons to be joyful about our writing. Sometimes we have to look kind of hard, but they are always there. So choose to look for those joyful things and focus on them.
Oh, very good. And this is different than being positive or being optimistic. It's actually choosing an emotion. Choose the joy. Be there. Jesus overflowing you. How is he doing it right now? What is he doing in your life that just makes you smile? I'm smiling on the other. If I say joy, I have to smile. So maybe choose joy by saying joy, y'all. Come on. You can do this. You can do this. All right. Number 10, Edie.
Number 10, remember that failure isn't always a bad thing. It's funny. Bob Hostetler is a friend of ours. He's a literary agent and an amazing writer. And he was getting ready for a keynote once. And I was going to be at the same conference. And he sent a questionnaire to all of the faculty members. And he said, how has sharing your failure helped others? And as I was looking at that, it hit me that my entire career is basically founded on failure. Because I use the things that I have done wrong in my blog, The Right Conversation. I find my blog post topics by things that I have learned, often the hard way. And I am very quick to point out the things that I have done wrong so that I can help others not make the same mistakes. So really and truly, you could say my entire career has been based on failure.
And it's an amazing career.
It stood me in good stead. I'm a quarter of a century in. I think I have enough failure to go another 25 years.
This is good. We'll come around next time, y'all, and we'll talk about continued failure. This is good. God builds us. He does. And there is, you know, there's no pain that doesn't provide some type of gain, I guess, if I'm going to go that direction. But failure isn't fatal. And we can keep moving. We can keep moving. That's good. Number 11.
Be flexible. Oh my goodness. Dates change, editors change, topics change, your internet goes out, your computer dies, your agent calls and says, actually, they would like for you to write this book from this slant, or any number of things happen. The fact is, it's those who remain flexible, who are able to bend and not break, who stay the course in this writing journey.
That's right. Be flexible. Understanding that as Father allows the wind to blow, he's also controlling it. So we can choose flexibility. Very good. Number 12.
Give others the benefit of the doubt. None of us is perfect. And sometimes the things we say come out in a way that lead others to think we meant to say something else. I've learned that I can't be quick to be offended. I need to give others the benefit of the doubt because you know what? I expect others to give me the benefit of the doubt. And so I just found that I never regret being nice, but I often regret being snappy and rude.
Isn't that true? The number of times that I go, oh man, that already crossed my lips and someone heard it. What can I do now? And that's when I go, right, shouldn't have said that. Had I known the backstory, I wouldn't have gone there. Do not judge. Do not judge. All right. Number, 13.
Yes. Eat healthy. Now, I know we're coming off the holidays. Very few of us have eaten healthy. But the fact is, I don't know about you, but after a month and a half of eating holiday food, I'm a little sluggish. And my back hurts. And I have a headache. And I'm more susceptible to infections. And the list goes on. Instead, I need to make sure I drink plenty of water, and I need to keep this body that God has given me in good shape so that I can stand the hours in front of the computer and so that I can think clearly.
Amen. Amen. Enough said on that. It is, we have one body. We have one. What does God want us to do with this one this week? And we can have a lot of goals, folks, but it's just in what we consume makes a huge difference. And Edie, you touched on, you know, hydration. We need to be hydrated. We need to drink enough water. We need to get enough rest. We can do it, folks. We can do it. Number 14.
Take a chance and hit send. Mm. What I write will never be perfect. Hopefully what I write today is better than yesterday. And what I will write tomorrow will be better than today. But that is no excuse to never hit send. I think one of the saddest things is to talk to a writer who says, I've been working on this book for 25 years and I just want to get it perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Take a chance. Hit send.
We can do it. We can hit send and then we send to our tribe. I just hit sent. Yay. We got it. Good. That's what we want to hear. Boom. Send, send, send. Yeah. We can do this, people. We can do it. Number 15.
Make time to write a priority. Mm. Now, one big stumbling block for me when I first started writing was the fact that all these gurus were telling me, you have to write every day. Mm. I had a baby, a toddler, and a preschooler. Mm. Writing every day was not going to happen. It just wasn't. I couldn't even go to the bathroom alone, much less write. So I worked out time with my husband to write a couple or three times a week. And that worked for me. Now I write 5 days a week, but I'm at a different place in my life. So I think we have to write on a schedule, even if it's twice a month or once a weekend or every night, however you do it. But make that writing time a priority, because how can we expect our friends and family to support our writing endeavors and make them a priority if we don't make our writing a priority?
There it is. There it is. If we don't see it as one, no one else will. And something will always come up, folks. Something will always come up. But if God has set us apart to write, let's go with what he has crafted us to do. Let's go what he has called us to do. Don't question that. Just plan it. Schedule it. And Edie, I like that you said with the flexibility earlier, we're not all at the same stage as writers. And time is a commodity, but we all don't have the same time slots. But as long as we do prioritize a time to write, it will get done. It will get done.
It's absolutely
beautiful. All right. Number 16.
Take a walk. Exercise regularly. Move your body. One of the things that I have discovered, beyond the fact that I really hate to exercise, is the fact that to keep my mind sharp, I can't sit at this computer for more than 30 minutes to an hour without getting fuzzy headed. And what I find is if I just clip on the leash and take Cosmo for a walk around the block, when I come back, I am fresh. My mind is teeming with new ideas and energy. So trust me, go take a walk.
Do it. Do it. Set your alarm. If you're writing, set your alarm to go off at the top of the hour. Get up, move. Even if it's Sam will come in to the office and he'll wave at me and he'll say, I'm going to go down to the front to check mail. Tell me when you're ready, because we'll walk together. It's just an opportunity to get up, to move, to go. Very powerful. If you will never you will always benefit from stopping for a moment and moving your body. Take a walk. We can do it. Number 17.
Don't beat yourself up when you fall short. I have to tell you, one of my biggest bugaboos in writing is expectations. My expectations of myself. And when I fall short of those expectations, I am quick to beat myself up. So stop. Realize that nobody's perfect, not even me, not even you, and that we can give ourselves grace when we fall short.
We can. God gives it to us. We've got to give it to ourselves. We do. Number 18.
Invest in other writers. We all have writers in our lives who aren't quite where we are. And I have to tell you, I think it's really sad because I have been part of a local writers group since the late 90s. And several of those groups I helped to start. And the fact is that those groups aren't always of great benefit to me. I have a group of people who are very advanced, and we get together regularly too. But the fact of the matter is, if those of us who have benefited through the years from those groups helping us get to where we are, how sad it is if then we turn our back and say, well, I'm not getting anything out of this, so I'm not going to invest. So I think it's really important, especially the more expert we become, the more important it is to invest in other writers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is power in the mentoring. There is power in the passing on of knowledge. And you look at Paul and Timothy. I mean, there is a biblical principle here. And investing in other writers is help in the kingdom. And that's what we are to do.
Even more than that, there's power in camaraderie. I think about the writers who were what I thought of as way far ahead of me. And the idea that they would hang out with me regularly was something that sometimes kept me going.
Amen. Amen. Someone believes in me. So powerful. I have to have that. That is an area that I think we can all struggle with. So what a great word. Great word. All right. Number 19.
Give yourself the gift of a reasonable writing schedule. Now, this differs from making writing a priority because there are some of us with perfectionist tendencies. I can hear my husband laughing. Mine is more like perfectionist crazy, but you know. But we need to make sure that we're not trying to bite off more than we can chew. It is one thing to say, oh, I'm going to write 7 days a week and I'm going to do 10,000 words a week. But if that's not reasonable for you, then all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. It's better to take small bites of a big project than to try to gobble it up all at once, burn yourself out, make yourself disappointed, and get frustrated.
Amen. Amen. You got to do it. And seeing it as a gift is powerful language. Powerful language. I love it. Number 20.
Have a dedicated workspace. Now, I can hear some of y'all. I can only write on my dining room table and I can't leave my computer out all the time. Well, that's fine. Make your dining room table that area that when you walk in and you set it up for writing, your mind knows this is my writing spot. Not everybody starts off with an office, but there's something to the whole Pavlov's dog thing. When I come into my office, my mind calms and it's like my whole focus shifts to putting words on the screen because that's what I do in this space. In the morning, when I get up and I curl up in that corner with my coffee and my Bible, my mind turns to God. because that chair is where I always have my quiet time. It's where I meet with God in the morning. So find that place that when you go there to write, you are in a habit of getting ready and doing that.
Mm. We posture our mind, we posture our body as we think we go. And I see this as being such a powerful practice for all of us. Have that dedicated place where we write. Great. This is good. Even if it's going to a coffee shop, y'all, if it's going to a library, you enter, you know that that's where you're going to do your writing. Very good. Number 21,
when you hit a roadblock, go around it. Don't stop. When you treat a roadblock like a roadblock and you let it stop you in your tracks, sometimes you can never get started again. But if you treat a roadblock like a detour, a lot of times when you go around it, you will find yourself where you want to be much faster than if you'd stayed on that road.
Mm, that's so good. And you'll also notice a scenery change. And sometimes we need a scenery change for our mind to get to where it needs to be for us to write the best that we can. Excellent. Now, on 22, you say encourage other writers. And yes. I'm going to guess that you're going to say this is different than investing in other writers. So
absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Encouraging other writers is more of being a cheerleader. If you enjoy a writer's book, send them a note. Mm. Write a review. Share it on your social media. Encourage other people who are beside you. Folks, there is more than enough work to go around in God's kingdom. We do not need to be jealous of one another. We need to encourage one another because the workers are few. It's the harvest that's plentiful.
Oh, perfect. No need to add anything to that one. Let's just do it. Just do it. Now we come to 23. How are we going to wrap this up, Edie?
I think that when you go back to why we first started writing, there was an adventure, a journey, the possibilities, the excitement, and I think the fun of putting and playing with words on paper. So numbers 23 is sometimes write just for the fun of writing. I love to have fountain pens and beautiful notebooks. And sometimes I just write for the sake of the tactile fun. Sometimes I write poetry. I write really bad poetry, but I love it and it's fun. So sometimes write just for the fun of it.
We can do it. We can do it. All of these 23 amazing ways that we can, as we venture into this new season of writing, best practices that each one of us can invest in and take advantage of. Edie Melson, this has been fantastic. And I know that you do have a PDF for us, and that's in the show notes. A lot of ways that you can connect with Edie Melson in the show notes so you can find out more about her blog post. So many. Also, as a director of the Blue Ridge Mountain Christian Writers Conference, we'd love to be able to see you there and get you registered and get you on board. And we're just take just one moment here, Edie. Talk a little bit about the scholarships that Blue Ridge loves to offer to those maybe that are in a challenging place to be able
Absolutely.
To attend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We offer scholarships every year. That is what a huge portion of our contest entry fees go to. The scholarship would be the conference fee, the $375. And you can apply for that right now. The scholarship applications opened on, I guess we opened them January 3rd, and it will go through March 1st. And there is a blog post that explains how to apply for a scholarship. So you can go on to Blue Ridge Mountains or BlueRidgeConference.com. And I'll make sure that I get that blog post link to Linda so that it's in the show notes.
Absolutely. We'll make it easy for you, friends. We want to make this part of your life where you truly can say it's your best writing life. We want to invest in you. And we do that by making the links easy, by giving you what our guests have to offer. And just because we love y'all, we love you. And so glad you're part of our family. Edie Melson, thank you so much for being here with us. And I know I'm going to be bringing you on a few times. There's several offerings that you have for our listeners, and it's always a joy to have you here.
Well, I am excited to be here, and I love to get to share what God has done and encourage others, because I guarantee you, I wouldn't be where I am if it weren't for the encouragement of others.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, friends, for joining us. Please take a moment, if you would, to share this podcast with another writer or two. Give us a star rating, write a post an episode review, and hit that subscribe so that you do not miss any of the quality, well-crafted, informational, and soul care episodes that we have for you. I greatly appreciate what you have to say as much as what you choose to write for the kingdom. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.